Going to talk about a subject of hypocrisy. I've actually titled the lesson Disguise because that's really what we're talking about when we're talking about the subject of hypocrisy. The Greek word, it's very easy to see how we get the word hypocrite from that, our English word, as you look at the Greek word there. And basically it means an actor under assumed character. Or a stage player. That's according to Strong's Greek dictionary. And then Thayer says a pretender. So we're going to look at a number of passages that indicate that, show that, and hopefully we'll learn not to be guilty of this particular sin, because it certainly is a sin indeed. And it's real easy to be guilty of, I think, sometimes, to really kind of pretend or go through the motions or to put on a mask. And so this is actually the idea of how that word was used in the first century. It is what they would do when they were acting back in the Greek theaters. They would wear a mask to show emotion. Obviously, this is the most simple. It's the one that's used in theater today. It's the one where you put on a smile or you put on a frown. But here is a slide of what I saw when I was looking at more of the type of things that they would wear. I think these are all maybe based on some of the ones that they have found, maybe in as was prayed about what they learn when they dig things up. But basically, you're talking about a wearing a mask, and that would identify your character. Of course, we've come a long way in acting because now it's all the costumes, it's the makeup, and those types of things. But back in the early days, you would just run off stage and come out with a different mask, perhaps. But basically, you were putting on a disguise, and you were hiding your identity behind the mask. And so the actor or the actresses would wear different masks to portray their character. In fact, I think in a lot of the ancient theater, it was pretty much men that may have worn a mask of a female and things of that, maybe played both. But the mask that they would hide behind would express those various emotions, as you can see in some of them that are up there now. Now, Jesus's strongest rebuke, as I think about the scriptures, his strongest rebuke came in Matthew chapter 23, when he said to the scribes and the Pharisees, and he calls them hypocrites. And so we're going to look at a few of those sections there in our study. We're going to look at some other verses. But his, he had that issue, that problem, and he pointed out that sin in the scribes and the Pharisees. And he calls them a hypocrite. And that's not something to wear as a badge of honor. That is, hypocrisy is in fact sin. And that is our scripture reading, which Craig read for us there in Job chapter 13 and verse 16. It says a hypocrite could not come before God. And so we're not talking about anything that we would take lightly, because we're talking about us masking ourselves or pretending or putting on a show, if you would, depending on the circumstances. And so as we develop this, we flesh this out, we'll begin to see the realities of what we're talking about in looking at a little closer in hypocrisy. Now, probably the easiest is that there's a lot of individuals that pretend to be religious. They actually pretend to be moral. They go around acting like they're righteous. They go around acting like they're a religious person, but they're not at all. In fact, we know that's not accepted to God because, again, as our scripturing says, but moving that closer to home, for us who are Christians, it's our pretending to be Christ-like, to be a follower of Christ, but our actions would say something completely different. They would be saying things that contradict our own profession of following Christ. Now, how are you like most or all of us? We're turned off by hypocrisy. We don't like to have someone who's pretending or being fake or disingenuous, or they're just putting on a mask when they're around us. And yet the hypocrite, again, that's exactly what they're doing. They profess one thing. They say that they're this, but in fact they are doing something different, or they are someone else. Now, I actually met. I've heard over the years, you know, well, I know somebody that's not a member of the church because they say there's hypocrites in the church. Well, I've actually met someone. Now, that's pretty much one of the things they had indicated is because they observe hypocrisy in God's people, they say, I'm turned off, and so I see no reason to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ because they're saying that they are and they're professing to be Christians, but they're not. And that's really sad that we would cause that type of offense before someone, that they're looking at my life or your life and they're going, yeah, I'm not going to obey the gospel because I know that they go off to the Tri-Cities every week and I see them, and but I know how they behave when they're not at the Tri-Cities, or I see them at work or something of that nature. So it is something that is deadly. In fact, in our class, we were talking about how they poisoned the mind of the people there in the city of Iconium. Well, one of the interesting things about hypocrisy is it's a poison. I mean, it's deadly, and we have to understand that it is that in every bit of it, because it is a sin, because the wages of sin is death. So now, again, making application for us, I want us to think about it from the standpoint of not, well, I know a hypocrite. I want us to look at ourselves, and I think it's too easy for us to be guilty of it, but we have to be able to recognize it. We have to be able to confess it, repent of it, and change, because it's something that can happen sometimes rather quickly. Because it's really nothing more than pretending. And that's, if you go back to that definition by Thayer, it's a pretender. And we're going to see that that's exactly what happens in some of these verses. They were pretending to be religious. People are pretending to be a Christian. But really all they're doing is they're putting on a mask. And they even put on a mask maybe when they enter into the assembly of worship. In other words, okay, I've walked through the door, I'm going to put my mask on, that now I'm religious, and now that I'm moral, and now I'm moral. But it is acting like you're a Christian. And that is, and I don't want to ever be guilty of acting like a Christian just because I'm around other Christians. I want to be a follower of Christ because I'm following Christ. I don't want to be putting on a mask here, walking outside, taking the mask off, pitching it in the back seat, and driving off. And yet, I think too many can be guilty of that, where we're acting one way, but then we get home and we act a different way. Or maybe we go to work and we act a different way. Or maybe we're in school and we act a different way. Well, that's just, again, unacceptable. And nobody likes, I don't like to be around, because if you think about hypocrisy, as we again look at verses, I couldn't get away from the idea too of its deception. It's a form of lie. Deception is a form of lie. And it's a false pretense. And I don't like to be around that. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be around those that pretend to be someone they're not, because that makes it hard to trust, that makes it hard to develop relationships, because that's nothing more than a hypocrisy, where we live and act one way just in this circumstance, but a completely different way in another. This is probably the closest definition, if not the definition, of hypocrisy in scriptures. Look at Matthew chapter 23. As Jesus starts his scathing rebuke against the scribes and the Pharisees, and he says, you're nothing more but hypocrites. Notice what he says beginning in verse 2. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, sit as judges, judging the people, which is what Moses did. They came to him and he judged matters. So he says, they sit in Moses' seat. But here's what he says, therefore, whatever they tell you to do, observe. Now, what is he saying? Well, he says they're telling you the right thing to do. They're going to tell you and judge the matter correctly. So I want you to listen to what they're telling you. But then he says, but that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and they do not. And that is just the clearest definition of hypocrisy. It's the, they preach one thing and they practice another. They're going to tell you the right thing to do, but they're going to do something completely opposite. And that would be rather, if you're listening and you're the Pharisee or you're the scribe, you can imagine how much that would sting from a man who is nothing more than someone from Nazareth, a carpenter's son, and he's looking at you and saying, well, you know, do what they're telling you, but don't do their works because they say and they don't even do what they're telling you to do. And so he'll give examples of that. We're not going to study through chapter 23, but we're going to look at different sections to make some different points. But that is very sad because this happens. That's the way of the hypocrite. They say one thing, but they do something entirely different. And that is the nature, too. Sometimes think about what he's saying. Okay, here is the standard. This is what the law tells you to do. This is the judgment on the matter before us. So here's the standard, but then what is the result? Well, they're not keeping it themselves. And let me show you just how prevalent this is. This is a picture. You've probably seen it. But this is at one of the world economic forums. This is over one of the climate control type situations where what they're saying is that we are burning too much fossil fuel. We're polluting the planet. And then they all show up, and it was estimated there was 1,000 to 1,500 private jets. And what do you and I, who are being told don't do this, what are we thinking? Hypocrites. You say one thing, and you do another. You're pretending to be concerned, but you're not willing to follow through. You're not practicing what you're preaching in the world about climate change. And I don't know, and not to get into a lesson on this, but I don't know if you've actually noticed, but if you are purchasing things now, if you'll look at some of the finer print, it's going to tell you that we save this much of a carbon footprint. If you were to want to buy an airplane ticket now, you can look and say your carbon footprint is going to be this much, so why don't you pitch in another $20 or whatever? They've got an estimate for you. Keep your eye out. It's showing up. I saw that. I don't remember if it was in an Amazon delivery where they're starting to say by shipping all of your packages together, your carbon footprint has been made smaller. Well, again, I look at this and say, hypocrites. That's not even whether or not that is true or not, but that's just an illustration. And so now you've got people who were the religious leaders. You have the Pharisees. They're the strictest in holding to the law of Moses. And Jesus says, I want you to do what they're telling you, but I don't want you to do like they're doing, because what they're telling you, they themselves do not do. And it's sad, but that's what leaders often do. Leadership. So if you're in a position of leadership, you can't fall prey to this. You may be someone that has somebody under you, one or two people. You can't fall prey to this, because what happens is leaders often exclude themselves. They often exclude themselves from doing what is right. And the only way you can do that is you believe that you are excluded from the teaching by your own power and your own position. In other words, if you were to really get them down, they'd say, well, we have to do this because we have to save the planet. See, and then, so what are they doing? They say, well, my power and my position gives me the right to do something you can't do. And that's way too easy for people to fall prey to that type of thinking. And we'll notice this in a few other verses in just a moment. Look at Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus again uses this word hypocrite. Verse 1, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eyes, but do not consider the plank in your own eyes? How can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own? What does he say? Hypocrite. Jesus says, all right, this is our word. He says, well, that's hypocrisy. First remove the plank from your own eye, then you will be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Well, that's hypocrisy is ugly. It's an ugly characteristic, a trait. And this is sad. You want to point out another person's sin, but you're guilty of the same sin. And we see that in scriptures where that happens. You can say, let me help you. And Jesus says, no, you got to help yourself first. Because if you are going to try to do this, you're nothing more than a hypocrite. You're pretending to be someone who is capable of dealing with this when you yourself are dealing with the same thing. So to try to do so, he says, well, that's hypocrisy. Now going back to Matthew chapter 23, let's look at verse 5 through 10. Matthew 23, let's look at verses 5 through 10 as he gives some illustrations. Verse 5, he says, but all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad. They enlarge the border of their garments. They love the best places at the feast, the best seats in the synagogue, greeting in the marketplaces, and to be called of men rabbi, rabbi. But you do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. Sadly, that's how the hypocrite works. They participate in things really to just draw attention to him or herself. And what that made me think of is, what kind of person would do these things to receive greetings and the best places and things of, you know what I came up with? Somebody that's self-centered. Hypocrisy is self-centered. Think about what Jesus is saying. He says, all that you're doing is make yourself look good, depending on your surroundings. Well, I'm going to be around the people, so I'll put on my large garment, my phylacteries. I like for people to say rabbi and father and greet, and I love those things. I thrive on those things because who am I? Who's getting this glory? I am. I'm feeding my own self-worth, my own ego. So hypocrisy is very self-centered. It's about making me look a certain way depending on my surrounding. So when you come in here, you put your mask on and you make yourself look good around other Christians. But when you go out, what do you think? What kind of mask do you think you put on? Well, you don't want to look bad in the crowd. So how are you going to do? You going to act like them, talk like them, dress like them? You see the point? But that's really just being self-centered. While around sinners, you just pretend to be the worst one. When you're around the saints, well, you just pretend to be holy and pure. So what you do is you're doing for you to be seen in the best light by those around you. If it's good people, well, you want to look the part. If it's being around those that are evil, well, you want to look that part too. That's nothing more than hypocrisy. In fact, look at what Jesus says in verse 11. He actually says, okay, let's pull away from being self-centered and hypocrites. He says, but he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. What? Well, what's that teaching? Thinking about others more than yourself? That's the opposite of self-centered. That pulls me out of how do I look, and I'm concerned about other people. Look at verse 12. He says, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The hypocrite isn't humble. Not these individuals, not the scribes and the Pharisees who love these positions and these greetings. And he says, no, that's not true. The way that you're great is you actually serve, and you do that because you're humble. You humble yourself. That's the opposite of what we're seeing. And so you can see why he would say, well, you're nothing more than hypocrites. You're pretending before the people to be religious. You've got your large garments. You've got your phylacteries. But he knew their heart was far from them. Look at verse 27 and verse 28, where he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." So here he's saying, well, you know what? Hypocrisy is really just a show. It's just putting on a show. That goes back to why it's the word used in theater. It's acting, it's pretending. You're a Christian and you appear to be righteous on the outside while you're around others of like precious faith. But then the ungodly, you don't act like a Christian at all. And so what are you doing? Well, he says, well, let me show you what that's like. That's like the outside looks really good. Looks like everything's in order. I mean, you look like you're a person that has godly character, but then he says, no, inside you're full of hypocrisy. You're pretending, and you're practicing unlawful things. And that's why I said earlier, hypocrisy is a form of deception, because you're putting on a mask. You're pretending. You're trying to deceive those that are around you to appear one way when inside you're a completely different person. And what you're doing is you're trying and you're seeking to lead others to believe you're someone you're not. And that's a lie. That's the disguise. That is the hypocrisy. And so Jesus said, well, you're whitewashed tombs. And what that is that's what I'm going to be doing to the driveway before too much longer, Lord willing. I'm going to take and power wash that thing, try to make it look clean again. He says, you got that sepulcher, those tombs. Oh, they look so clean. But inside, it's just dead men's bones. They had no substance, just an exterior shell. That looked really good. Now, putting it that way, can a Christian just have an exterior shell that looks good, but inside be rotten? And now here's the thing is that and where we're going to end up is, can you fool God? No, because God sees the inside. Look at Luke chapter 12. We'll go out of Matthew. Look at Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, we've got the danger of hypocrisy and how it spreads. And that is the reality of hypocrisy. And the way that happens is they're like, you know what? They come here and they look good, but I know they're behaving differently elsewhere, and they're getting away with it. Nothing's being done. So because nothing's being done, guess what? Well, they're not going to do anything to me. So in Luke chapter 12, in the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, so we got a crowd so big that they're pressing and pushing on one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, so he looks at his followers and he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Leaven spreads throughout the dough. It's what makes it permeates. I don't know how it works through chemical reactions. I guess I do because I've taught that before, but you put it in there and it spreads through the dough, causing it to rise. That's what leaven does through the chemical process. He says that's what the behavior of the Pharisees is. That their leaven is hypocrisy. They say the right things, go back to Matthew 23:1. Do what they say, but don't do like they're doing because they're not practicing what they preach. They pretended to be right with God, and that easily catches on. Acting catches on. You know, I'll just act the way they're acting. But Jesus said, pretending to be something you're not. Verse 2, there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. You're not fooling God. It does not go unnoticed by God. You can fool others, like the Pharisees were fooling the people, into believing they were super righteous and serious about serving God, but God was not at all fooled by what was going on inside. And when we leave evil unchecked, it will have its effect on the whole. And that's why it's important to recognize this in a congregation, because it can spread in a congregation. Now, there is a clear example in Galatians chapter 2 of this idea of sin spreading, hypocrisy spreading. Now, as we've been studying the book of Acts, we know very well that Peter, in chapter 10, had just learned that the Gentiles can have the gospel. God is not a respecter of persons. Sometime later, Paul says this in verse 13. He says, "For you have heard of," let me get in the right place. Verse 13. "And the rest of the Jews," well, let's begin with 11. "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For certain men came from James. He would eat with the Gentiles but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, 'If you being a Jew live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles.'" And we'll stop there because that makes our point. But basically, Peter's eating with the Gentiles. He had learned that. It was lawful for him to do that. It was right for him to do that. But when he realized that there were those, like a prominent man like James, and again, this would be Jesus' brother James, when he comes, he feels intimidated. He has fear, and he pulls away because of his fear. Like, I don't want to be seen eating with the Gentiles, so I'm going to pretend, I'm going to just pull away and pretend now that I'm like, I don't approve of that. And fear was a great contributor to his hypocrisy. Why? Because he was concerned about what others would think or say about him. Isn't that why we play the hypocrite sometimes? We're afraid what others might say or think about us. So we just pretend to be something that they wouldn't think anything about or they would approve of. And we can be guilty of that. And we call that being two-faced. There's a reason, which goes back to why that's in the corner. There's our two faces. That's where that comes from, two-faced. The King James Version, the American Standard, translate that word, and it is hypocrisis. It's the same Greek word, but it actually translates it dissimulation. So it uses a different word. So I thought I would tell you dissimulation means to disguise one's intentions, for example, under a feigned appearance, to conceal one's true feelings or intentions. That's from the American Heritage Dictionary. So that goes right back to it's a disguise. He's disguising his intentions. And that hypocrisy and that dissimulation, guess what it did? It spread. That feigned appearance spread. It spread that it even says that Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. And that was a big deal for them to say even Barnabas got caught up in that. And that happens. That's what we would say peer pressure. Peter's pulled away. I don't want to feel that way. I'm scared. I'm going to pull away. And before you know it, Paul has to rebuke them all for their hypocrisy. And so there you have an example of the dissimulation, the hypocrisy, the leaven spreading. God is not a respecter of persons, but I pulled away to show respect of persons. You see the problem? That's the hypocrisy. Peter in Acts 10, I perceive God's not a respecter of persons. But when these people came around from that were Jewish Christians, I pulled away. That's hypocrisy. Now another word that is used is the word pretender. The word pretender. Look at this example in Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 and in verse 13. This is with regards to Jesus. Then they sent to him some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words. When they had come, they said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are true, care about no one, for you do not regard the persons of men, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not pay?" But he, knowing their hypocrisy, he knew their hypocrisy. He said, "Why do you test me? Bring me a denarius that I may see it." So they brought it. He said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this? They said, "It's Caesar's." Jesus answered and said to them, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's." And they marveled at him. All right, so why do I bring this particular passage up? Well, they pretended to be interested in what Jesus had to say. And yet, and look, verse 14. Oh, they just buttered him up. "We know you got truth. We know you're going to tell us the truth. Oh, we know you're not a respecter of persons. Tell us what to do." But Jesus knew that they were testing him. They were pretending. They were disguised. They were masked, their intentions. Jesus said that's hypocrisy. And so there are times that we may butter somebody up, but we've got other intentions. And we're playing the hypocrite because we're pretending when we've got these ulterior motives. Now, the other passages that are here is, as we close, I want you to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, because it actually uses kind of the opposite, but I think it's very important. It uses it in the unfeigned, the undisguised, not a hypocrite, is the way this is kind of being used. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you," speaking of Timothy, "which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in you also." I think the King James is unfeigned faith, unmasked, free from hypocrisy, undisguised is the thought there. How is our faith supposed to be? Genuine, sincere, real. Not fake, not pretend, but real. And that same type of thought is found in 2 Corinthians in chapter 6 and also the 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22 with regards to what about your love? What about your love for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, he says that's got to be real. That can't be masked or fake. Because if you just come in and you just, pretend to love one another, then what's being pointed out? Well, that's nothing more than hypocrisy. So look what he says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 6. He says, "But by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love." And again, that's the same idea there of unmasked, unfeigned, genuine, sincere, true love, real love, genuine love, not fake. And so our faith has got to be genuine and undisguised, and our love has got to be genuine and undisguised. And otherwise, we're playing the hypocrite. So serving God must be genuine and sincere. It cannot be pretend. And I can't pull my mask on and off depending on which crowd I'm in. And because God is watching and he knows the truth about who you and I are. And the hypocrite, Jesus said, actually, I believe it's in Matthew 24, about verse 51, they're going to be in everlasting torment. They're not going to make it to heaven. The hypocrisy is a sin and it is a problem. So I hope that's been helpful, because we don't want to be guilty of just pretending and putting on and disguising ourselves. We want to be sincere and genuine. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you have an opportunity to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've been studying the book of Acts, that those that believed, what did they do? Well, they were told they must be baptized for the remission of their sins. They would confess their belief in Christ, and they would be baptized, and they would wash your sins away. And so behind me, we have water to do that. Maybe you're a Christian. Is there hypocrisy in your life that you need to confess? Are others You're not fooling others, and you need to confess that. You need to make that known. We want to pray with you and for you. Steve has selected our invitation song, and we invite you to come.